All right, guys. Good evening. Hope you guys are surviving. So my name is Ashok. I'll talk about storage as a service for on-premise clouds. Just set some context, and then I'll go through how we can offer this in a cloud stack environment. So just a quick note about myself. Started as a kernel engineer. Worked on HPX and a bunch of Linux and a bunch of operating systems. Built the TCP stack, SCSI stack, etc. It's part of the team which launched Cisco UCS. I was there for 5 years. And then currently I'm head of products at a startup called Datera. And Datera's goal is to build an Amazon EBS-like storage solution for on-premise clouds. And you know, all of us want to do this, right? Every service provider wants to offer better services than Amazon, if not same services, at least the same services as Amazon. And what we figured is the challenges are all about programmability, because you cannot scale human beings to the size of your cloud and compete with the big cloud vendors. And the second thing is about you don't want to compromise on performance when you go for software-defined storage, right? And our goal is to give you the knobs and the performance as you go through a very simple software-defined storage solution on commodity x86 servers. The company was founded by a bunch of Linux contributors. We contributed the Linux LIO stack. I mean, if any of you are using any storage out there, block storage protocol, it's based on Linux. It is contributed by LIO. LIO is the kind of the target mode driver. Fibre channel iSCSI, SRP, whatever protocols that you guys are familiar with. And we also made a lot of contributions to the SCSI stack itself. As we move from slow drives to fast media with SSD and the like, the SCSI stack started to fall apart, especially multipathing and multiple queue handling was broken. So we, SCSI MQ, and if you guys have started playing around with queue handling and SCSI in Linux, that's a piece of code that we contributed in 4.10. In the newer kernel versions, we've got even more enhancements on Vert.io and a bunch of other services as well. If you guys are interested, let me know. I'll be glad to talk about it in detail. So just a quick 2 minute on Datera. So like I said, we're a software defense iSCSI block storage running on commodity x86 servers, so nothing fancy about that. But these are the three key pillars of the company, right? We are API first. Everything is programmable in the infrastructure. It's the reason why we have integrations with CloudStack, Cloud Platform, OpenStack, every orchestrator that you can think about, we have integration. And you talked about intent defined. A bunch of us came from Cisco UCS when we found the company, and Cisco UCS did the same thing for compute and networking, decoupled a kind of application provisioning aspects from compute infrastructure, and Datera does the same thing for storage, right? I'm not going to talk about that here. It's a separate topic on its own. I'm going to just talk about how we can create multiple service tiers under the same platform, right? The other part of it is about adaptive nature of the system, right? As much as you don't have to touch anything, things can rebalance and readjust and self-drive, it is better for operational efficiency, right? As a cloud operator, you don't want to be checking where is the RAID layout or how is the disks happening, right? We want to take all of that mundane, should I say, manual operations out of the day-to-day hands of the operator. If you do want to, you have all the visibility and you can do whatever you want, but things will heal automatically, will self-adapt automatically. That's one of the goals of our system. So operation efficiency as a cloud operator you care about, and that's one of the things we really do. So I think in the morning Syed from CloudOps talked about the driver, so we worked with him to get the CloudStack integration upstream. In fact, we just did a PR last night for 4.10, and I think it's Syed just approved it in the morning, so it's up there. We added a couple of new features, right? We had the old driver, but we added a couple of features. So I'll talk about that. So I'm not going to talk about the storage driver itself. You guys are very familiar with. The couple of important things we've enabled is this notion where you can have one storage solution in the backend, the Datera backend, and have
multiple primary storage offerings that you can advertise, right? You can have an all-flash offering, you can have a hybrid offering, you can have the primary replica on flash and subsequent replicas on hybrid, right? We give you extreme flexibility, and you can configure all that through the URI at primary storage configuration in the CloudStack plugin, right? The other pieces, I think one of the biggest pain points when I talk to CloudStack customers is about snapshots. It's terribly slow, apparently. So we've offloaded snapshots and we've accelerated that process, right? So we've got, I think, something like, I mean, it's offloaded in the storage device, it's terribly fast. For us, from a storage perspective, snapshot is not copying data, it's manipulating a bunch of pointers. So for us, we're a redirect on write storage system. So when you do a snapshot, we're just writing some bytes, 64 bytes to take a point in time snapshot. Same thing with clones, underlying, if you guys are familiar with storage, underlying store, clone, snapshot, all this stuff is metadata management. It's not really copying of data. It used to be 10, 15 years back. We also support all the core features in CloudStack. My VPN was not working, I'll try if it works, I'll have a couple of videos I can run through. We do all the features. There are two PRs that we are working on right now. One is exposing the bandwidth as a QoS knob. So you guys are familiar with the modern day, right? Storage is no longer, the modern workloads, especially the Hadoops, Cassandra, the modern workloads are not IOPS bound, they're actually bandwidth bound because the applications have become smarter that they do large block reads and writes rather than small 4K reads and writes, right? So historically you needed this, right? More and more you need bandwidth as a control. So we have it in the system, so we have a couple of ways we expose it. Today we can expose it again through the URI. When you configure the primary volume definition, you can expose it there. But more interestingly, we won't actually do it at the disk offering or computer offering timeframe because then you have more control on a per volume basis. That's one thing we're doing. The second thing we're doing is this ability to expose this primary storage type, which is one of these types, or you can define your own types if you wanted to, at the disk offering time. So that we have the ability where if you created, let's say hypothetically speaking, you created a volume which is all flash and you're running an analytics workload, after a week you figure, hey, I don't have to have this on flash because I've done my performance workload and I can move it off to a disk or I can move it off to cheaper storage if required. We allow on the data backend to dynamically runtime change the configuration. So you can have all flash volume, boom, you just change a bit, we make it to be a hybrid volume or primary replicas in flash, whatever. You give all the options that you want, you can choose one of the options you wanted to. Unfortunately, that's not possible today in CloudStack. We couldn't expose that because when you expose it through a URI, you're predefining the storage, primary storage type. We actually want to move it to disk offering type. So when you're creating the volume, you can define what type of volume you want, and we can actually go and change. Today, I think it allows you to change the IOPS. It doesn't allow you to change anything else. So we can do that and also change the size, right? IOPS and size. So we want to go and add the storage type as another, offering type where you can go change it runtime. And so for your customers, you can expose that as well, right? So you have the ability to switch. And likewise, you can switch to faster as well, right? You have some old data, you thought it's not important, and then you want to run some analytics on it. So you don't want to keep it on disk, right? It's super slow. Promote it to flash and you can get great performance. So those are the two PRs we are working on right now, but there are a bunch of other activities as well. I'll talk about that. So one of the things for us was to make storage intent defined as well. It's a very large effort. In fact, we're working with CloudOps and a bunch of others trying to see how we can make that happen. Yeah.
This work is on the way, right?
These two, yes.
It's on the way. So you already met problems with the migration path of a runtime moving disk offering.
Yes.
So how are you handling that? Say I move completely. I'm not making it hybrid. I have one type, I move to another. And theoretically, or not theoretically, but in first sight you might just have stop everything, freeze, do a full copy, then continue.
Yeah.
And suppose you that's not how
it's going. So the work actually is done in the Datura backend, right? So what we want to do in CloudStack is enable, let's take volume size as a feature which is already existing in CloudStack, right? So when you go change in the disk offering volume size, let's say from 1 terabyte to 2 terabyte on an existing system, on an existing VM which has got a volume attached, right? What CloudStack does is just makes a call to the backend storage device saying that, hey, by the way, for this volume, it's increased from 1 terabyte to 2 terabyte, right? We want to have the same behavior for the storage type as well, because in the Datura system, we would handle the behavior where if a volume changed from all flash to hybrid or whatever one of the 5 configurations you chose, we'll take care of that. So all we want is CloudStack disk offering to make a call into Datura. That's what we're doing. So it's very similar to what is happening for volume size increase, IOPS change. We're going to do the same thing for bandwidth and storage type as well.
Sounds good.
Yeah. Because unfortunately, these two are right now bubbled up at the URI, the primary storage definition. We want to move it down to disk offering and compute offering times. And we'll first do it for disk offering because we want to go through that PR, and then we'll expand it to a bunch of others. It's the same design everywhere. So many times people ask, why do we need all these types of storage devices, right? Historically, what happened in clouds is, I guess all of you are familiar, you had storage X, Y, Z, and you have different storages providing different kind of services. And we all know that basic queuing theory is if you don't consolidate your resources, utilization is going to be lower. So, and you take a cloud today, right, you have some workloads which are test and dev workloads, you have a bunch of long-tail Hadoop workloads, and you have really high-performance database workloads. And historically, the two vectors, all offerings were focused on is on capacity and performance. And more and more capacity is becoming less and less relevant because we all know this metric has to be taken care of. That's what you meter probably by. And if you just meter on capacity, no customer is going to be happy because there's some customers saying that, oh, you're charging me too much because I don't care about performance. And there are a bunch of customers are going to say, I'm not getting the performance I want, right? So there's always, that's one curve you're never going to be satisfied with. It's like a Toyota Corolla versus a BMW, right? Everybody wants something in between, but you're just offering something in between. People want Corolla as well as a BMW. So that's the way I see it. So, the solution was, put all flash, and you'll solve all of these problems, but it's very expensive. You can't have a low-cost tier. Or figure out how to have a good median, right? So that's why we have this notion of all flash nodes and hybrid nodes. And again, we can have a combination of, or I'm just taking a very simple example to talk about. So you can decide that there are some workloads which are small, but need really high performance, right? IOPS and the like. But the working set is very small, right? Working set is a very important metric to figure out what type of storage device you want to. Because in hybrid systems, as you probably have seen, give very good performance, right? You have a small percentage of flash, like 3-5% of flash, and about 95% of disk. You get very good performance for the 2-3% of working set which sits in flash. But unfortunately, if you just lower that, we'll see dramatically bad performance. So, and most of your kind of test and dev workloads are going to be like clones or snapshots of a small size workload, and you get great performance, and for that hybrid might be fine. Again, there are some long tail workloads like Hadoop, which needs terabytes and terabytes, and flash might not be efficient for that. You can use hybrid, and there'll be probably small working sets where you're running HPs or something which needs high performance, and you can have flash for it. So you can pick and choose what you want. And there's always these databases where the working sets are almost as close to the data set size. It's churning completely, and you absolutely want to have flash. I mean, there's no wrong answer there for using flash. And you probably overcharge your customer accordingly as well, right? So this is kind of the whole thought process, if I have to put it in a very simple fashion. And, as a product person, I always like to do numbers. So I don't want to go through this in detail at the end of the day. But bottom line is this, right? Historically, one way people would solve is they would buy, let's say, a storage X and give IOPS Y to a customer, and IOPS P to a customer, and IOPS Q to a different customer, and charge by that. But the bottom line is your acquisition cost for the storage was the same, right? So we want to actually discriminate the acquisition cost itself, right? Because there is a difference buying flash versus disk. So I'm just taking two examples, right? These are model numbers you don't have to worry about. But we have, let's say, a hybrid system, and the dollar per gig, let's say, is 35 cents. And a flash system, let's say the dollar per gig is like $1, let's say $2, right? Based on the type of offering you want to create, platinum, gold, silver, bronze, and you can define how many replicas you want, would you want all flash, you know, what kind of performance you want, right? You can actually discriminate the acquisition cost, right? Which is what you want to do from a service provider perspective. And then you can mark up and, you know, offer it to your customer. But it's clearly that your, because every storage vendor is going to charge you by capacity, right? Typically, if you buy a X solution with X capacity, that's what they're going to charge you for. So, but here you have an opportunity to actually buy some capacity, let's say hybrid and flash, and vary the cost differential that you offer to your customer by the service offerings you create. And we give you a lot of flexibility. You can quantify by IOPS, by latency. It could be by bandwidth, it could be by the number of replicas, it could be where you place the data. So you have all these knobs that you could use to discriminate the data. So just to give you a high-level perspective, let me switch over to the, let me maybe just the last slide. And last part, which this is our, so we have two components in the system. One is what is on-premise, right? And this has got the cloud stack plugin, and you'll consume the storage device. We feel that system itself has to be lean and mean on the premise, and all the analytics is done remotely. So you have a kind of a web portal where you can see real-time analytics of the system. You can see where is the data placed, what is the IOPS of the workload. We give you application level view because, you know, if you want to see who's your top talker, you know, which application is your top talker, you can see that. You want to, you know, you want to see who you can upsell a service to. You can look at that and upsell those customers. Right? You get all this features. So let me switch to my so this is a sorry, my VPN was not working, so I'll try again a bit later, maybe after, to see if the VPN works. But this is a recording I did for a cloud platform solution. So it's very simple. I mean, I think you guys have gone through this many times, so you add the primary storage device. We can do it at the zone level, and you can, you know, you choose hypervisor any. Just I've got one zone in this configuration, and then the idea is all the key configuration is going to be done in the URI, right? What type of IOPS definition you want to do, what kind of capacity definition you want to do, and the like. We wanted to make it as simple as possible in getting this started. We also have like a shared volume driver as well as a managed volume driver. So if you want to do like the VMware approach where you want to expose the storage to the hypervisor and all the VMs shared from that hypervisor, that's also available. So if you saw there were two drivers, Datera drivers, you can pick and choose either of them. But the Datera only driver is the managed volume driver. So you have dedicated volumes to every VM if you wanted to. So this is just basically the capacity of the backend device. I guess I'll not go through this, but maybe here is where some interesting aspects are. This demo, which I recorded like a few weeks back, doesn't have the bandwidth in here as well because we just pushed the PR like yesterday. Like I said, we can also define the bandwidth here. What type of bandwidth you want to expose on this particular primary storage? The min and the max, but more interesting will be to expose it to the disk offering. So let me pause here. Any questions?
So this is exposed by iSCSI. So do you require
migration?
No, no. So you can move a VM within the cluster and across clusters. You can move a volume from a VM, detach it. I mean, you can detach a volume. Storage light migration.
Okay, so you're basically taking a SCSI reservation or something of that nature, I'm assuming.
Yeah.
Locking
yeah,
the
yeah.
storage and then forcing a migration.
Yes.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah, so the storage device got added. Gives you a, this is our storage, this is our UI on the back end, just shows that shows what kind of capacity, what kind of provision instances and the like. I won't go through our UI because I don't want to make this a commercial talk. So let me pause. I think I'm out of time. Any other questions? Oh.
Yeah, one about you said it's going to be 4.10. It means it's already merged?
No.
So we have drivers from 4.5 onwards. We have customers from 4.5 onwards. We have the driver for 4.5, 4.7, 4.9, which are in GitHub. And 4.10, we've merged it up.
Yeah, the PR was posted yesterday.
Yeah. Sorry, it's been...
The PR was posted yesterday.
Oh, it was posted yesterday, yes. So it's going to be 4.11.
Be
4.11, sorry. Yeah. But we have drivers for 4.5, 4.7, 4.9 in our GitHub repository. Mm-hmm. And that's what most of our customers are using right now. And by the way, we also packaged with Accelerite. So Accelerite 4.7.1 is going to have the Decarat driver, not just the Decarat driver, in fact, Accelerite has the rights to resell our product. So that's another way you can consume as well if you're a cloud platform customer. All right, thank you guys. Have a good day.